Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
But when it all, it all falls down. I'm telling
the truth.
I'm telling you,
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Shalom, everybody. Most High in the name of Christ bless you. I'll be your host this evening. My name is Hashi Yag, and with me is my brother, Dawud Yad. You got anything you want to say to the people?
Hey, shalom, brothers and sisters out there.
All right, we're going into this topic. Let us make man in our image. Because according to the scriptures, from the beginning, the Most High created us in his image. And man has went off from that. And we're going to explain as the show go on. So the thing is how we get back to that image. Because if we look and we examine our lives, you know, I can speak for myself as a young child, you know, from the things I witnessed growing up and how the people that were influential in my life and the people I wanted to follow were people that were, now that I'm older, you know, and examining things, it was people that were ungodly. And that were doing things that was ungodly and unrighteous. And these are the people that we become impressed in. You know, that I know, you know, a lot of people I speak to say the same thing, like drug dealers and pimps and people that are committing crimes in the neighborhood, rolling dice, and the tough guys, the gangsters. And we can see that, too, even when we look at different rappers, young people growing. You see our young people right now in our community, the things that they look up to and the people that they want to be like are people that are living ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main reasons is that they don't understand, you know, I can speak for myself again, is we don't understand nothing about God or how to be like, how we can be like God, how God-like, you know, so... So the things we were looking up to were things that were evil and wicked. So we're going to open up the show with Genesis, the first chapter, starting at verse 26.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. And over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
So, in order for God to give man dominion over all these things, he's not going to just give any man dominion over the whole earth. He's not giving wicked men dominion over the earth. So that's why it's very important for us to understand the first part of this statement, where God said, "And let us make man in our image after our likeness."
Exactly.
Because a lot of people take that to mean a physical form, and we don't believe that is a physical form. As we go on, we're going to bring out the scriptures to explain what that exactly is talking about. It's not talking physically, but it's talking spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's look at another chapter. We're going to look at a couple statements that's similar to that, and then we're going to, you know, explain it. Let's go to Genesis, the fifth chapter, and read verse 1. 1 on down to 3.
Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
"Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam."
So, called their name Adam. So, you know, some people run with that and say that the man and the woman was in the image of God. And they try to, I have heard people say, even women try to say that God was a woman. When the scriptures tell us clearly that you know, he's the father.
Yeah.
Then we go into the Methodite thing about being a man and a woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is not talking about that when it says the man and the woman were put in the image of God. It's more dealing on a spiritual aspect. All right, go ahead, read verse 3 for me.
I'm going to finish verse 2. I'm going to read it again, verse 2. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And God, excuse me, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth.
So now it's saying that Seth was made in the image and likeness of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that why, if all his sons obviously are going to have arms, legs, and look like him physically.
Yeah.
So when it says Seth, it's saying something particular about Seth, that Seth wasn't like Cain. Seth is of a different character than Cain, because we know Cain as being disobedient.
Yeah.
In a spiritual form, in a spiritual aspect, Cain was more like the image of Satan, because he chose to follow Satan instead of follow God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get another example of that, of a statement, a very similar statement to that. Let's go to John, the 14th chapter. We're going to go to John 14, and we're going to start at verse 7, St. John's.
St. John, chapter 14, verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him.
So, did the disciples ever actually see the Father?
No.
Absolutely not. So, Christ is saying, if you had known me, meaning his actions and the way that Christ conducted himself and the understanding that Christ had, you would have known the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
And now you have seen him and know him, because Christ is that perfect example on how he was the perfect example on how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Right? You know?
Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffereth us.
Suffice
excuse
us.
Excuse me. Suffice us.
Meaning he'll be satisfied if he showed him the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Verse 9. Jesus say unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?
So I heard, you know, different individuals explain the scripture saying that Christ physically looked like the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Or he looked just like the Father. The scripture is not talking about a physical look.
Mm-hmm.
It's not talking about the Father physically looked like Christ. It's saying that Christ walked in that perfect image. He walked in the commandments and in the ways the Father want us to be. That's what the scripture is talking about. It's not talking about a physical look. The reason why we know it's not talking about a physical look, because we don't know what we're going to look like. Because the scripture, we're going to look like him. We're going to... Matter of fact, let me get a couple of scriptures to prove that. Let me get two scriptures real quick.
We should continue on right here.
All right, go ahead.
Let me read verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwell in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake.
Okay, so he's talking about his character, the way he conducted himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, how he's walking within the commandments of the Most High.
Exactly.
That's that image of the Father. And as we read on, you're going to see that, because the scriptures is going to bring it out. But I want to show that it's not dealing with nothing physical.
Mm-hmm.
Two scriptures real quick. 1 John's the 3rd chapter.
All right.
And then we're going to go to Philippians, the 3rd chapter.
1 John, the 3rd chapter?
Yeah, read verse 2 for me.
1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Yeah, now are we the sons of God, meaning that, and that's another thing when it talks about being in that image. The brothers that have the law, that's why Christ told the Jews, he said that they called them gods to whom the law came and to whom the word of God came. I believe that was St. John, the 9th chapter, when he was dealing with the Pharisees. And they said to him, you know, how can you call yourself God? He said, don't it say in your law that ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, because if you follow the word of God, you're walking in that image of God. If you follow in the word of God, but so now the scripture said, read that for me again.
Beloved, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Yeah, meaning if we repent through Christ and following that example of Christ, we are the sons of God. All right, read on.
And it do not yet appear what we shall be.
So we don't know what we're going to look like when the end come, when the Most High changed his veiled body. We don't know what we're going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him.
So we know we're going to look like him, mm-hmm. but we don't know what we're going to look like. Now, if we were in the image, that means we would know exactly what we're going to look like we look right now.
Yeah.
But it does not yet appear what we shall be. I mean, we don't know what we're going to look like. We don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the scriptures tell us that we're going to look like him. And let's read that. Go to Philippians 3:21 real quick.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself?
So he's going to change our vile bodies. He's going to change this body that we have right now to look like his body, his glorious body. But when we read First John's the third chapter, I'm going to read again, verse 2, it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we don't know what that body is going to be like to say that we are like that body, but it's talking about a spiritual aspect, and let's get that in Colossians to prove that it's talking about a spiritual aspect. That's why when it said that Adam had a son after his image and his likeness, it was a son that was walking according to the commandments of the Most High to replace Abel, because Cain had decided to follow Satan and walk in the image of Satan. So he had another son to replace Abel, and that was Seth. All right, now read that for me, Colossians.
Go right to the point.
Third chapter, start at verse 9.
All right. Colossians 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
So the old man with his deeds was corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
The old man that we used to be before we came into Christ was a man that was following Satan. Was a man that was no longer in that image of God.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we put off that old man, read on.
Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him.
See, renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So now that you put on that new man, you're in that image of the Heavenly Father in Christ. Mm-hmm. You're following that example of Christ. Let's get one more scripture on that. Get Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4, start at 22, go down to 25.
Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust.
See, which is the old man, which is corrupt. Corrupt means that we were created to be one way, and we went off from that.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we were created to be was to follow the Heavenly Father, follow his word, statutes, and commandments. That's why Christ came and did that and became that walking example for us to follow. The scripture said that he was that image. All right, read on.
Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
So that's that new image that's created in righteousness and true holiness, meaning that we walking and following that example of Christ. We keeping the commandments of the Most High through the understanding of Christ. All right, what verse was that? What verse are you at?
That was verse 24.
All right, go down to 25.
Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another.
Okay, it brings us right back to what it said in Colossians 3:9 about lie not one to another and be created in that image of the Heavenly Father. and that new image of the new man, which is in righteousness and true holiness. That's why I want to hold that for me, because I want to deal with that Ephesians 4:22. But read Ecclesiastes 7:29 for me.
Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, chapter 7.
No, not in the Apocrypha, in the Bible.
Ecclesiastes,
yeah, yes, yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Ecclesiastes 7 and 29.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions."
Yeah, so that upright, when it says God made man upright, that's going right back to us being made in that image. And that image was to follow and to keep his commandments. But we went after our own mind and went against the commandments of the Most High. And that's what, you know, man is notorious for doing, going into their own mind and thinking they have a better way and they have a better understanding. But what happens is when they do that, that man becomes corrupt. Man and woman becomes corrupt once they start going against that. Because we were supposed to be walking in the image of the Most High. That's how we was made, upright from the beginning. But we sought out many inventions, meaning we went after our own lust. That's why I want to deal with that scripture now in Ephesians 4:22.
All
right. You got something to look at?
That's right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust."
According to the deceitful lust, because that's where it all started.
Yep.
With that lust. Let's get that for me too. And in Genesis 3:13, because I want to deal with that word deceitful lust, because a lot of times when we go into our own mind, we think that we're doing the right thing, or we think that we have the right understanding, and what we're doing is corrupting ourselves because we're going contrary to the word of God, and that's how sin works. You know, sin makes you think in your own mind that you're gonna do something that's right, or that you have an understanding, or that you see something, but you being deceived and you being corrupt because you're going into your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
So let's read that in what happened to Eve.
Genesis 3:13. What did you say? Genesis what?
Yeah, Genesis 3:13.
Genesis 3:13. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat."
So that word beguiled is the same thing, deceived.
Mm-hmm.
So she's saying that she was deceived. And when we look at a scripture like that, the Satan beguiled me, because when we're beguiled, or, you know, when we think on ourselves, when we go against the word of the Most High, a situation where people may say it was Satan, what it really is our lust beguiled us.
Exactly.
You know, our lust deceived us, because Satan comes on us all.
Exactly.
You know, and a lot of times we go into our own mind and we try to justify things that we're doing. Even a lot of times when, like I was talking to a lady at my job, and one thing she said about the Bible was that, how are you going to let a book tell you how to live?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's things like that. People come up with their own mind on things to reject the Bible or reject repenting, because their lust don't want them to repent. They want to continue doing whatever it is that they're doing,
mm-hmm.
which is contrary to the scriptures. And that happens to us too. There's times when we are being tempted and our own lust try to get us to justify doing something that's contrary to the word.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, you'll have people tell you, well, the reason why the scriptures say don't eat pork because they didn't have refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a deceitful, your lust is deceiving you to try to justify yourselves in eating that pork.
Exactly. Now we have refrigerators now. We live in a different time now.
Exactly. That's the excuse.
And then they also say that with certain holidays of this world too. We live in a different time now, so Thanksgiving is now part of the new, you know, the new thing now. Christmas is standing for Christ, which they can't prove in the Bible, but it's a new era now, a new time now. You know what I mean? So we can keep that.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a lot of people say.
And if God was to walk to them and ask them for justification of what they're doing, then they might come just like you said, the serpent hath beguiled me.
Exactly.
No, your lust beguiled you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why, let's get at Jeremiah 17. We read this all the time, but I think it fits. And it brings a point that I'm trying to bring out.
Jeremiah 17, verse 5? Or a different spot?
9 and 10.
9 and 10. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
So that's talking about our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds is deceitful because why? We have, I'm going to read a scripture real quick. I want to read this. This is the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 11. We're going to go back to Jeremiah, but I want to make this point here. Romans 7 and 11 says, "For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me." So, sin is going against the commandments of God.
Yep.
So, we have the commandments of God, which is telling us what we need to do and what we should not do. But by the commandments, our lust is operating contrary to the commandments, trying to get us to go from that. So the mind is thinking of ways to get you to entertain your lust. The mind is coming up with different tricks and different devices to get you to step out of the image of how we need to be and how we need to walk contrary to the Most High and walk according to Satan, which is contrary to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the scriptures say the heart, our minds is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All right, read on.
I'm going to read verse 9 again. This is Jeremiah 17, chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings.
So what we do is how we're going to be judged. So we have to look at our thoughts with the word and make sure that our actions are in line with what the word say and not give in to the deceitfulness of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Let's go to another scripture dealing with that. Go to Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 12. And if you got anything else, anything you want to bring out, just...
Yeah, I do. About say enter in. I would like to bring out a couple of scriptures on that. So this is Hebrews 3?
Yes. Read 12 and 13 for me.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
An evil heart of unbelief because,
mm-hmm.
like I was saying earlier, that unbelief mm-hmm. comes in. I know me myself think, you know, giving all praise to the Most High that, you know, that he allowed me to be grounded in the gospel. But there were times in my mind when I was fighting multitude of demons,
mm-hmm.
and the question that comes in my mind is whether the gospel is true or not. Because if I can find in my little pea brain a way to say that the gospel is untrue, then I may go all full throttle with my lust.
Mm-hmm.
Because the demons are on me too hard, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's one thing we got to be careful, because our minds have a way of trying to trick us into going against the words of the Most High. We can't blame it on Satan. We have to sit down and really examine our actions. You know, we have to constantly examine our actions, because even in a situation where you might be in disagreement with a brother, are you applying the scriptures, or are you applying your lust? Are you applying what your mind think that you might have felt offended, and how you operate when you're offended, or how you operate according to the commandments of the Most High? Because one thing we have to learn, it's not so much whether we're right or whether we're wrong, but
mm-hmm.
how do we operate? How do we conduct ourselves? Are we conducting ourselves according to the examples of Christ, or are we going into our own lusts and going back into the actions of how people in the world operate when they become offended?
Because a lot of times our lusts supersede, you know, the spiritual knowledge that the Bible gives us. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It supersedes it, and it becomes... It's just like a lot of times it's going into your emotions. You let your emotions take over, and it actually takes over what you're supposed to apply in the scriptures. And we all fall short sometimes when it comes to that. So that's how come it's important to understand what the image of God really is, because we can't go into our emotions and not call ourselves a follower of Christ and go into our emotions when we read the scriptures and tells us what to do, and we're not following it.
Exactly.
You know, that's where you're going off.
Because Christ didn't operate. When we look at Christ, and Christ is in that image, Mm-hmm. He is in the image of the Heavenly Father, the image that we are supposed to be in. When he got cursed out, did he curse back out, curse people back out?
No.
When he got spit on, did he spit back on people?
No.
You know, it's a hard thing for us to kind of comprehend, because when we work, when we are in this world, people are full of pride mm-hmm. and emotions. And that's how we raised up in this world, because this is what we were around.
Exactly.
Because we totally out of that image of the Most High. But we have to go back into that image. If you watch TV now, because, you know, brothers may be laughing at me about these shows I be watching. I watch some of these, what do you call it? I ain't gonna mention it, though. Some of these, for real TV, whatever they call it. But
yeah.
Everybody, all these people on these shows are filled of emotion and pride.
Yeah, reality shows.
Yeah, these reality shows, they're filled of emotion and pride. You can't do this to me. I'm so-and-so. I'm, everybody's about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And cardinal as can be,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's how the world, that's how people in the world is operating. But we have to put that those characteristics to the side and be in that image of Christ and conduct ourselves as Christ would have conducted ourselves. And we're gonna bring out some more examples of that. But let's continue that in Hebrews 3:12.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, and it reads, "Take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Excuse me, in departing from the living God. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin."
See, check it out. Exhort each other every day, all day, every day while it is called today, because that's why it's important to be in a church around other brothers and sisters that's in the same fight. But some people want to stay, they feel they can stay at home and do the thing on their own, you know, be a servant of Christ on their own. But you need help. You need brothers and sisters with you, you know, to give you examples of things that they went through to help you when you in times of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So the scripture said, "But exhort one another daily, what it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin." So our hearts get hardened and we get deceived through sin or through our lust, like we read in Ephesians 4, where it talks about the deceitfulness of lust.
Mm-hmm.
Our lust draws away from the words and the commandments of the Most High, because we want to fulfill the lust that's in our flesh. So we have to be careful on how we judge situations and make sure that we remain in the words of the Most High and in the commandments of the Most High, if we want to continue in the image of the Most High, in the image of God.
I want to go into a couple of points we're dealing with, to add to what the brother is saying. We're dealing with Satan beguiling you and deceiving you, because that lust that's inside of you, that's Satan in you, yes, it's the lust, you know, that you're following, you know, the lust of this world. And that's what it's going into. I'll give you a couple of examples on that. Give me Luke chapter 22 real quick.
Okay.
We're going to give a couple of examples according to the scriptures. And then we're going to, you know, explain it. We're going to let the scriptures really explain it. All right, so this is Luke chapter 22. Start at verse 1.
All right, Luke 22:1.
Mm-hmm.
"Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12.
So in verse 3 it says, Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. So Satan entered Judas.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna let the scriptures explain, how did Satan do it? And what was it that he tempted him with? How did Satan enter in? Read on.
"And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them."
So he was thinking of a way how he was going to hand over Jesus Christ to them.
Exactly.
Read on.
"And they were glad and covenant to give him money."
Yeah, so He was real happy to have an exchange of money to betray Jesus, right? Because that was, well, you know what? Let me go to a scripture to show you before we continue explaining it a little bit more, let's go to St. John chapter 12 to explain the issue that this brother already had in him. You know what I mean? So we understand that Satan rides off of your lust. He keeps coming after you and coming after you and coming after you. But how do we combat it? How do we fight it? Because Satan's going to keep coming into your mind, because whatever your lust is, that's what's going to come into your mind. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to keep tempting you, is your lust.
And Judas' lust, when you read the scriptures, was he was a thief.
Well, we're going to go into it now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, let's go to St. John chapter 12 and read verse, start verse 3.
Mm-hmm. St. John's 12 and 3.
Or is that 13 and 3? What was that? Did I say 12 and 3?
Mm-hmm.
No, go to 13 and 3. I'm sorry. No, 12 and 3, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say 12
and 3. Yeah, it is 12 and 3. I'm bugging.
Okay. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pennies and given to the poor?
Yeah, so why wasn't this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So this is what his complaint was, Judas.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
Verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor.
So this man didn't care for the poor. His heart wasn't in, you know, really caring for the poor, for them eating, or, you know, they need some shoes on their feet, a coat on their back, food on their table. He wasn't really caring for that. Read on.
But because he was a thief.
Should we say that again?
But because he was a thief.
So he was a thief. So keep reading. Keep reading. I'm sorry.
And had the bag and bared what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone.
No, you stop there. So verse 6 says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, had a bag and bared what was put therein. So he was basically a treasurer of the money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So with holding the money and taking care of the money, he had the bag, he had the purse of money. So he controlled basically the treasury. So he was worried about stealing more money. So instead of worried about the poor, and first of all, the incredible thing this woman was doing with Jesus' body by taking the ointment, you know what I mean, in honor of him,
mm-hmm.
instead he overlooked all that.
The spiritual thing that was being done.
Yeah, and looked at the lust that was inside of him, which was the money. So he already had that thought, that lust, that temptation inside of that man was money.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan knew that. You see, Satan already knew that. So when we go back to Luke 22, I'll read it real quick. Give me Acts 5 real quick. I'm going to read Luke 22 again, verse 3. So Luke 22 and 3 says, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. So that was his lust. So Satan knew how I could get to Judas. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I knew what it is, that how I could make him be tempted and he could give in to his temptation. Because that's what that man did. He gave in to the temptation.
Yeah. And then he betrayed a righteous man.
Mm-hmm. We're going to give you another example. Just to show you how his temptation was, his lust was what? Was money. Everybody lusts ain't money, but his was. But let's go to another example. Acts chapter 5, read verse 1.
But a certain man named Ananias, and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land?
So part 3 is letting you know that Satan also entered them.
Yeah.
So this is another way that Satan entered their minds. All right? Acts 5 and 3 says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?
So we read in the scripture in Colossians, the third chapter, where it talks about lie not one to the other.
Exactly.
Because the lying is not a characteristic of being in the image of Christ.
Exactly.
So he's stepping out of that image and dealing with Satan.
Exactly. So, but read on. So we're going to show them what it is they lied about.
Okay.
Read verse 4.
While it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
Check that out. See, a lot of people think if you lie to another brother or lie to another sister, that you ain't lying to God. Because the Holy Spirit is in all of us. That means God's in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's God in every individual that's keeping the word of God. That's that Holy Spirit in you. So the reason why you're lying to the Holy Spirit is because the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in the whole body of Christ, or is in the whole body of Christ. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when you're lying to the body of Christ. You're lying to God.
Really, all sin you commit, you're committing it against God.
Exactly.
You pinch your own soul in against God.
Exactly. But read on. Read verse 5.
And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the spirit, gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things.
So in other words, his judgment was death for lying against the Holy Spirit. But the whole thing is, they sold the land. Let's say the land was sold for $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
He kept part of it. Let's say he kept $40,000 and gave up $60,000, or kept $60,000 and gave up $40,000. The whole thing is, it was in his possession, meaning in his control, to give what he said he was going to give, because he was going to give the whole portion. That's what was being said. So don't make that sacrifice with your mouth and give this vow and say you're going to give this in honor of God and then hold back and lie and say, oh, I only sold it for $40,000, when you really sold it for $100,000. You can't do that.
So basically it was in his power to just say, look, I want to give $20,000. If that's what he wanted to give, it was his. He could give what he wanted to give.
Instead, he said he wanted to give more and then lied and gave less.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing that was inside of him. To betray, he lied to his brothers and sisters over money. It's right back to that money issue with them again. They didn't want to give up what they had. They felt as though whatever their lust was to hold on to it, you know. But let's give another example real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 16, just to show you it ain't always about money, you know. Matthew chapter 16. But the whole world, we know, because this is the prosperity teaching that's out there, it teaches you to always keep your mind focused on being rich, because, oh, Jesus Christ was rich. Abraham was rich. All the people of God was rich.
That's this world. This world, their thought
mm-hmm.
on what is important is finance. You know, that's the most important thing to them is finance. Even when we look at, especially young people, man,
mm-hmm.
they think as long as you have money, you're good. You're doing good. You're successful. But what about your morals? What about the type of person you are? You know, what about the image that you're in? Are you in the image of God or are you in the image of Satan? You know, are you corrupt or are you righteous? They're not dealing with that.
Exactly. So this is Matthew chapter 16, start at verse 21.
Okay, Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be risen again the third day.
So he was trying to let them know already that his time was coming. He was getting ready to die for our sins, die for the sins of the children of Israel. This is what he was saying.
This is what was ordained by the Most High.
Exactly.
The will of the Father.
Exactly.
Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee.
Now check this out. Wait, hold up. First, Christ is telling them, the disciples, how he must die. His time is about up. His time is up to where he's going to die. Fulfill the scriptures for the children of Israel, for the forgiveness of sins. But Peter was like, wait, hold up. I can't let this take place. I can't let this happen. Read that one more time, verse 22.
Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. this shall not be unto thee.
No, take that out of your mind. We are not going to let this go down like this. I am not going to let them take you and kill you.
Read on.
It sounds like a good thing, right?
Yeah, but that's the whole, it does sound like a good thing.
But
is it according to Scripture?
Yeah, is it the will of the Father?
Exactly. That's the difference. The difference is a lot of times we feel like it's a good thing. Like that's a good judgment. But let me see if it equals what the Scripture is saying.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's a very good point, too, because a lot of times when we look in this world, a lot of people are doing things which they feel in their heart is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, the pagan holiday Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing this for the kids.
Yeah.
I'm giving the kids gift.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
is that in the image of God? Is that something that God wants us to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something Satan wants us to do? Whose image are we in? So who justifies this as being good? Who says that this is good and this is evil? Is it your mind or is it the word of God?
Exactly.
That's what we need to look at.
And a lot of times, because it's funny you mentioned Christmas, because we all talk about it a lot because the whole world is so heavy on it, we have to always talk about it. But it felt good to show up with your family and to eat, break bread with them, party, give gifts, exchange gifts.
Mm-hmm.
That feels good. I used to enjoy the lights on the Christmas tree, you know what I mean? The presents, you wake up, you get excited.
Yeah.
You know, exchanging gifts with your girl, it feels good. But when you start looking at the word of God, it don't add up because God didn't tell us to do these things that are being done and that we teach our children to do. He didn't tell us that, but it could feel good all at once. I want you to go out there and ask a man right now that's sleeping with six different women and ain't none of them near his wife. Ask him, does it feel good?
But you know what he'll say to justify his sin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they know that.
Yeah.
They agree. This one has a man. She don't care. She don't want to be with me either. She's just having fun.
That's it.
So we both in agreement to do this.
So we both feel good. We enjoy this agreement.
But does that make it right?
No.
Or is it evil?
It's definitely evil. And they could feel good all at once. You could be partying. What about people out here that murder people for hire? They get all this money. It feels good that they receive this money. By any means necessary, I got to get this money. We got strippers that strip for money.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get this money to survive. They got all excuses why they doing this. You know? We have a lot of people selling drugs out there. I got to provide for my family. Get an honest living, man.
Yeah.
Get a job.
But they'll come up with 100 reasons why not to get a job. But that goes again into the deceitfulness of your heart, the deceitfulness of sin.
Exactly.
Because you're going into your mind to justify doing something that's wrong. That's where we got to really be careful.
Let's read this again, then. Let's go back to Matthew 16, chapter 16.
Verse 22.
And read verse 22 to 23.
Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.
Well, stop there again. I'll make this point before we continue. Now, if we were present, I want everybody to paint this picture in your mind that Jesus Christ is standing in the midst of you right now. That he's in front of you right now. I mean, physically in front of you. And someone's about to harm him, to take him, to put him to death. You would lay down your life for Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? That's the Son of God. Like, I'm not going to let nobody hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
So in your mind, you really think that's a good deed, what you're protecting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Peter really thought.
Yeah.
Peter forgot what the scripture. Come on. You forgot why Christ came, Peter? You forgot he's dying for you, your sins, and everyone else of Israel. That's a great deed. He has to fulfill the scripture, Peter. You got to get up out of that spirit that you're in right now.
Like the cardinal.
Yeah, because you're thinking carnally, fleshly, emotionally.
Exactly.
You're thinking with your emotions. You're letting your emotions supersede spiritual intelligence. So that's what you're guilty of. But read on. Read verse
23
now.
But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan.
Wait, stop there. Get thee behind me, Satan. Why is he saying this? Because that's why I went to those other scriptures first to show you how when Satan, remember how Satan went into Judas Iscariot's mind?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how Satan went to Ananias and his wife's mind? Okay, that's the same thing that's happening to Peter. Satan entered Peter's mind to stop them fulfill what Christ was supposed to come to fulfill.
Try to stop the prophecy.
Exactly. So he entered Peter's mind. Why? Because that was Peter's lust.
You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing. We have different lusts. He wasn't going to let that go down. But read on.
Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.
And that's what's wrong with a lot of us today. All right?
Exactly.
We don't want to follow what Christ is saying. We want to follow what our emotional side is saying, our lust is saying, what we agree upon, how this is how I feel.
Yeah, what I think is right.
Exactly. But it says, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. How do we know the things that be of God, brother? How do we know that?
By reading the scriptures.
And that's right. And that's how we measure it up. And we know that came from God. There's no other Bible but the Bible, the King James Version Bible, Holy Bible. There is no other, like, Bible that was printed and made, meaning that came from God, that the Holy Spirit fell upon and wrote the Bible. There's no other Bible but this. So you can't go grab another book and say, this is what God wants you to do. I can't go into my own mind, Brother Dawa Yud, and write a book and say, God came to me last night doctrine, and start writing my own verses and chapters and verses and say, this came from God.
Exactly.
I can't do that. But this is what the world is doing. And a lot of people are captivated by it, and they believe that God really came to them last night doctrine, and they're coming up with all these different theories, all these different ideas, and selling it to the people, and the people are eating it all up.
Exactly, exactly.
But read verse 24 before we go to the real quick. Read verse 24.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me.
And this is the whole key point. The whole key point is, like Judas Iscariot, a lot of us have lust of money, man.
We have all different diverse of lusts.
So we have lust of money, a lot of us, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so we're supposed to deny the fact that we can't chase money by any means necessary. We have to get a job and live an honest life. We can't sell drugs for money, man. We can't pull off schemes and scams to make money. We can't do all these things, you know, and deceive people and take their treasures and take their money. We can't do that. These Ponzi schemes and all that, we can't do that. Insurance schemes, we can't do that. Why? That's a dishonest game of money. All right? So these things we can't do, just like Peter. Peter has to deny himself of his feelings for them taking the Son of God. He has to deny that and follow Christ. Meaning what? What did Christ do? He did not run away from them when they went to go take him to die for his sins. He didn't run from them. He did what? He followed what the scripture said to fulfill what had to be done. And that's what we have to do. Regardless how much we enjoy and like and feel like we want to do it, we have to deny it, reject it, and still follow Christ.
Yeah.
Even if it's to death.
Because you know Christ, man, he foreseen everything he was going to go through. So imagine the feeling that was on him when he knew that that was about to go down.
Terrifying, you know, man.
It could have been an easy thing to just go with Peter and say, yeah, Pete, we ain't gonna let it go down.
Mm-hmm.
But he stayed in the spirit and followed that image of God and what he was supposed to do. He went and went through it.
Exactly.
He went through it.
We're gonna take a break now, so just stand by.
All right, we're gonna take a quick promo. Yep.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to listen to our new program, From Darkness to Light, where we examine and reprove spiritual wickedness in today's world. The show airs every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So remember the words written in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
Yo, how long these devils think they're gonna escape, man? Go on and expose them. Reverends doing witchcraft and abominations. They say they're of the Lord, but they're the friends of Satan. Spiritual wickedness. in high places. We got devils walking around with human faces. Divining witches and psychics will bring a curse. But what's worse is cats is teaching this up in the church. Filthy lies and blasphemy is what it is. The Most High said he would not suffer a witch to live. So we examine and reprove all these sinful demons. Now get your Bibles out, cause it's repentance season. Submit yourselves to the will of the Most High Might. Open your eyes and turn from darkness to the light. Tune in to From Darkness to Light on blogtalkradio.com/BOCC. Wednesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Repent from witchcraft and the occult. Shalom.
The Body of Christ Church cordially invites you to listen to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. This show will air every Thursday on Blog Talk Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you join us, and may you be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to our show. The topic we're covering is let us make man in our image. Mm-hmm. And we discussed that that image is us walking upright in righteousness and true holiness. Just like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, walked. He walked in the image of God. And that's how we are to walk. Okay, when we left, the thing we was kind of going into was that a lot of times we go into our own lust, and that's what takes us off from walking in that image of God and becoming corrupt by us following our minds and being deceived. So the part I want to look at now, I want to look at why we shouldn't go into our minds and how we keep from entering in. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And we're going to read verse 18 down to 21. Because what it is a lot of times, man, is that we as men and women think that we think we're wise. We find cunning ways to justify ourselves in doing things which is contrary to the Most High. And what we wind up doing is corrupting ourselves and becoming followers and servants of Satan. Instead of followers of servants of God, we become in the image of Satan instead of the image of the Heavenly Father in Christ. So let's read that 1 Corinthians 3:18.
1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise.
Yeah, meaning that become a fool that you may be wise, meaning forget all the garbage that you have learned from this world or that's out here. And start learning what God wants. Start learning and applying your mind to follow God and keeping His commandments, because that's what we was created to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can be that upright man. But a lot of people, they come with all types of justifications and all types of wisdom to justify themselves in walking in sin. And if we say we followers of Christ, that's something that we definitely have to be careful of. Because we've seen that happen from the least of them to the greatest of them, going into their own minds and turning away from the scriptures. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something we have to stay upon ourselves constantly. All right, you know what I'm saying?
Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
So that and that's what people do also. They find a man mm-hmm. who they think is very intelligent, very eloquent with speech,
mm-hmm.
and they glory and follow that person.
Exactly.
But the Most High is saying all that stuff, man, all the wisdom of this world is foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
From the wisest man into the least wisest man. We are not supposed to follow men or put men up on a pedestal. We had people come in the chat room, I remember, if it was like a week ago, and they was trying to say, follow this guy. This guy has the truth. Follow this man. This man has the truth. We're not in search for the truth. We already found the truth. The truth is in Christ.
Exactly.
So I guess he got lost because he was definitely in the wrong sight.
Yeah, so, because everybody's chasing, you know, just like when Paul talked about. It's funny because we're in the chapter now where Paul in the beginning part of the chapter, when you look further up in the chapter, in the beginning of the chapter, where it talks about Apollos and Paul. Like, who was Apollos and who was Paul?
Yeah, glorifying men.
Yeah, the glorifying men. You know, and even if there is a great man that speaks eloquent. And a great man that brings out the wisdom of the Most High God. It's not about him. It's about Christ, because that man can fall. So when he falls, you're gonna fall with him, because you're gonna start following his doctrine, and you're not really realizing that he's veering off of the doctrines of Christ, because it happened. It's all in the Bible. How great men had the word of God, but then what happened?
Yeah.
That's the reason why Israel kept falling so much, because the rulers at that time and the teachers wasn't teaching them to repent. They were going into their own thoughts, and then the rest of the people were following them, going into their thoughts.
Exactly.
And not into God. And that's what's happening to a lot of churches out here today.
Yeah, that's what's going all over this world. Like, a perfect example of that is, like, we'll have scientists and scholars try to say that there's a gay gene.
Exactly.
That's why when you read, I'm going to read that again, verse 19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
Mm-hmm.
So, that stuff, them trying to say there's a gay gene and try to justify what the scriptures say is sin,
mm-hmm.
the Most High is looking at as foolishness. But we have people that say that they're followers of Christ, and they'll come out and utter the same thing.
And they're so deep into the science part of it, and they're so educated. Well, you know, that's why it's funny that people like me and you, brother, that don't have no, you know, PhD, you know, mm-hmm. you know, we're no scholars, biblically scholars according to this world. We have them certificate to prove that. But see, we just read it, and the word of God comes to us from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll rather hear somebody else that has that degree instead of hearing us, because we're foolish to them. Because where did you learn? What school did you go to?
Exactly.
You know, so we look like we're the fools, but yet they are the intelligent fools, because they don't have the true instructions of God, but they believe in man. They believe in science. They believe in that. But God told us not to believe in those things.
Exactly. That's why the scripture said, not many wise are chosen,
mm-hmm.
you know, not many mighty. Because a lot of people that are wise, they are so wise in the wisdom of this world that the word of God is foolishness to them.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't calculate.
Mm-hmm.
What's that term saying Spock used to use? it's not logical.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll look at the scriptures and be like, it's not logical. All right. So it says, verse 19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness.
Mm-hmm.
So that craftiness is being real tricky. You know, people are real tricky with their own thoughts. They try to get real tricky and try to combat the scriptures with their wisdom and try to be real tricky and crafty with it. You know, so, you know, you got to be careful. Read 1:21 for me in Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 21.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
So it says, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So their wisdom wow. of what they're saying is upright and what they're saying is righteous and their explanation, they don't know God. That's why a lot of times you listen to cats like the Roman Catholics, Roman Catholic Church, trying to explain and justify things. Yeah, they wise. Yeah, they got degrees and scholarships. But when you go into the Bible, their understanding of what the scriptures say is far from what the scriptures are saying.
Exactly. And then I got all millions and millions of people following me.
Yeah. Why? Why they found him? Because this man got a doctorate. He got a PhD or something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, well, I'm going to listen to you. This guy got a PhD. T.D. Jakes got a PhD. I'm going to follow him.
Exactly.
You know, give me let's go another script. Give me Isaiah 47:10.
Isaiah 47:10.
Mm-hmm. Because this scripture here is prophesizing about Babylon. But when you look at the scripture, it can be used for us as individuals. Because even though Babylon has this vibration in Babylon, a lot of us have this vibration on us also.
Isaiah chapter 47, verse 10. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee.
So that's what, you know, even though it's talking about the empire of Babylon the Great.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at a scripture like that, as individuals, we can examine ourselves in that scripture because it says, thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. So a lot of things people are doing from their wisdom and their understanding, they trust that what they're doing is right, even though it's contrary to scriptures. But within their minds, they have craftily came up with some justification
exactly.
to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the scripture said, thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Mm-hmm. Read that again for me, man.
For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me.
And when people are doing things, a lot of things people do that are evil that you can think of, they hide and do it in secret.
Exactly.
You know, they do it in secret. But yet, they telling themselves that what they're doing is okay.
Yeah, they're still saying it's okay. And nobody see me on top of it.
Exactly. You're doing it in secret, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we don't.
Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee.
So by you going into your own wisdom and your own knowledge, you have became corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Pervert means to be corrupted from what is right.
Mm-hmm.
You are no longer right. Now you're corrupt and basically a pervert because now you don't justify yourself in going into your own lust, into your own sin.
Just like you said earlier about the gaze, about a man sleeping with a man. A woman sleeping with a woman, and we see it all over the world as far as them, you know, allowing these gay marriages to go on.
Mm-hmm.
They perverted their wicked thoughts in their own mind to justify it and still get married under Christ, they say.
Yeah. Hey, they'll be a pastor in a church.
Exactly.
With the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and say that it's okay. To show you how people go into their own minds, read the Bible, see the Bible say it's wrong,
mm-hmm.
but yet somehow they have deceived themselves to justify themselves to walk contrary to the Word of God.
And then you got all these people following them because why? Their minds are perverted because they want to follow the same thing that they're teaching because that's their lust. So let me go to this church because that's the lust inside of me anyway.
Or they'll follow because they got scholars and professors saying it's okay to do this.
Yeah.
Even though the scriptures say the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God,
mm-hmm.
they're going to trust the scholars.
So they trust the scholars, just like we got individuals that trust the doctors, the scholars, more than they trust God. So they'll rather follow a physician of this world, and God shows us how to avoid certain things according to the scriptures, but yet they'll trust in the doctor to instruct them how to deal with their lives, you know what I mean, instead of going to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They trust in society and not God.
Exactly.
Let's finish out the scripture, because the scripture is hot. There's a lot of information still left.
Okay.
I'm going to read it. Isaiah 47:10. For thou hast trusted thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am, and none else besides me. So inside your own mind, you think you're God. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You justified it, and that's why that saying, you know, the Lord came to me last night, doctrine, because you think you God. You came up with this own imagination of yours, how God came to you last night and the things he had told you. Now you go in front of the church and you go tell your story.
Hmm.
No, because you made up that God in your own mind, because what scripture supports that?
Yeah, stick with the scriptures.
Because you can't. You got to make up your own doctrine, because the world, for some reason, a lot of people out there enjoy that entertainment. They enjoy that sermon. You know what I mean? So they want to go to that church. Oh, the Lord done came to my pastor last night, and guess what? He done told my pastor, oh, child, he done told him some stuff. You ought to come to my church.
He's going to tell you some new stuff next Thursday. Like, my point is, it's not about your pastor and how the Lord came to him last night. It's about what the scripture, God already came to us last night, y'all. And it's written in the Bible through the Holy Spirit. He already came to us. This is what we have, the Bible, to instruct us what to do. We don't have to go to that pastor and to make up like he's someone special, like another Moses, that he's talking to him directly. It's not going down like that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go to I want to pull out another example. Let's go to 1 Corinthians Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter.
Oh, 1 Chronicles.
Yeah. I want us to look at something now. Want to step in a little different angle, because man has became so far from what God is. So when we were supposed to be in the image of God,
mm-hmm.
or conduct ourselves like God. And I want to look at one area where man's ways is so contrary to the ways of God. By looking at this story where Satan came into David and had him number Israel.
Okay, where we at?
1 Chronicles 21, start at verse 9. We're going to read 9 down to 15.
1 Chronicles 21 and 9. And it reads, "And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee."
So this was David's punishment for allowing Satan to move on him and having him doing something contrary to the Most High. So the Most High sent Gad, which was a prophet at that time, to give David three choices on what his punishment was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right, verse 11.
"So Gad came to David and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, choose thee, either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that sword of thy enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me."
So his choice was, he could have either 3 years of famine,
mm-hmm.
in the land, right, or 3 months to be destroyed before his foes, meaning the enemies, other nations, would destroy King David for 3 months, or 3 days of the Most High judging them and the Most High bringing a pestilence upon the land and killing the people. So those were the three choices he had.
Wow.
All right, you know?
Verse 13, "And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait, no doubt. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord. For very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man."
So check that out. Man, he rather be punished by the Lord for 3 days than to deal with man being judge of men. Because men have no compassion or no mercy.
They sure don't.
So is a man supposed to be in the image of God? Why man don't have that character in him? What happened to that character of compassion and mercy?
Yeah, and that's what they lack all over.
Yeah, now, when we look at Christ, did Christ have that character of compassion and mercy?
He sure did.
So that's something we need to
have on one another.
And we need to put that in our DNA. We need to have that within ourselves.
Exactly.
All right, read on.
Verse 14. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, "It is enough. Stay now thy hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite.
So you see the Most High mercy, he didn't even do it for the 3 days.
Yeah.
So that mercy and compassion came upon when he saw the destruction that was taking place, that mercy, and he stopped. But so that mercy was there. We saw that mercy. The mercy didn't even go to the time limit when they were supposed to, when he was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
So David made a wise decision. But when you look at man, there is no mercy with men. Men have a bitter hatred, no compassion for one another.
No balance, man.
So that's something we need to examine. Now, if we look at Christ, who is in the image of the Most High, whose image we are supposed to follow, an example we're supposed to follow, let's see how he deals. Let's go to 1 Peter, the second chapter.
1 Peter, chapter 2.
Because this is the image we're supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me get it to... Okay, you guys read. Start at verse 21.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps.
So even hereunto that we that are in Christ were called,
mm-hmm.
which is what? To suffer. We're called in this gospel to suffer.
That's right.
Even as Christ suffered, because he didn't suffer for his own self, but he suffered for us. The things he suffered, he didn't suffer for himself.
Mm-mm.
All right, you know?
Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was... All right, okay.
Yeah, that guile is going into that trickery, that deceitfulness, that deceitful trickery where you're lying, but you're justifying a way where it doesn't look like you're lying.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
He didn't do that. And we're not supposed to deal like that. All right, you know?
Like Ananias.
That was God.
Exactly. That was God. All right, verse 23. Who when he was reviled not again.
Now, when people were cursing him out, saying evil things about him, he didn't go back and curse them out and say evil things about them.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the vibration he was in. And again, he's a perfect example of the image of God, of being in that image. And that's how man was created from the beginning to be. But we became corrupt. And when we look outside and see how men deal, is cursing one another out. You know, it's not an easy thing, but we have to constantly examine ourselves to make sure that our character isn't operating like that. We can't operate like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we're in the right, we have to examine ourselves and repent of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know?
Verse 23, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
So we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. So, you know, I mean, when we read the scripture, man, it's like all over telling us that we have to keep the commandments of the Most High, because what is righteousness? That's why I can't understand how people are arguing and debating about whether we got to keep the commandments or not. It really makes no sense. And when the scriptures speak about, like when we read, even hey unto we were called to suffer, part of that suffering is what? Us leaving from the desires of our flesh. Because the desires of our flesh is contrary to the commandments of the Most High.
How is one going to suffer giving in to temptation?
You're not.
Because what is temptation? Temptation is a sin. Because we said it earlier about the examples I gave anyway about Peter going into his lust because he didn't want them to take Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what you call it was being tempted too. Judas Iscariot being tempted and gave right into it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And betrayed Jesus for some money because that was his lust. Are we supposed to give into our temptation? Because that was lust, meaning we're supposed to give into it because it's a sin.
Exactly. I want to get a scripture on that too.
Yeah.
I want to get a scripture on that real quick. But let's finish this up.
Yeah.
Verse
25.
Yeah.
For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your soul.
Yeah, we was going astray. We was going away from that image. We was being corrupt. We was going away from the example we were supposed to be following, but now he showed us the proper way to follow, so now we have to return back to that, which is bringing us right back to that image that we was created to be in from the beginning.
And how do we do that? That's the thing, like you said, don't make no sense. We got to have some kind of instructions and morals,
exactly.
Nothing to follow.
Right. I want to read the scripture to go back to what you were saying about dealing with our temptation and that being a way of our suffering. I really like the scripture a lot, man. This is Peter's 1 Peter's 4th chapter.
Yeah, we always do this.
Verse 12 and 13.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
So when it talks about that fiery trial, which is to try us, that means that's that temptation coming on us to bring us back into the lust of our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, verse 13, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. Because you're suffering. Why you're suffering? Because you're not giving in to that temptation.
Exactly.
That's you're not giving in to that deceitful lust.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to corrupt you. So that's suffering also, right?
Exactly.
All right. I'm going to pull out two more scriptures and I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to give it to you, brother. Because it shows us how we, you know, how we're supposed to deal. And it also shows us the purpose of the commandments. Luke 6, 31. We're going to read 31 down to 33. Then I'm going to get one more and let you hit a couple of scriptures.
Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And it reads, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise.
So that's showing us that compassion. You know, that compassion that we're supposed to have, because we don't want nobody to do evil to us. We don't want nobody to do evil to our wives, our children, our loved ones. You know what I'm saying? So why can we go out and do evil to other people or have no compassion or no mercy towards anybody else?
You got to be considerate when you sum it all up. We got to be considerate because exactly. We don't want the same thing to happen to us.
Exactly, exactly. So that's showing us, and if we can do that, you know, that's showing us that we are in that image of God. That's showing us that we are being God-like or godly, because what the Most High, did the Most High, like Christ told us, he said, the Most High causes the rain on the good and the evil.
Exactly.
You know? All right,
Verse 32. For if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them.
And I remember a while back, you know, when it first came into the gospel, one thing that brothers used to always say, because, you know, if you go back in the old days when we was in Israel, or calling ourselves Hebrew Israelites, we usually be cursing other people out and try to claim to deal righteous with men that were part of our church.
Yeah.
You know, and try to justify that's what the scriptures want us to do. But when we look at this scripture, it just tells us it ain't just supposed to be men that are in the church, but it's also those that are without.
Exactly.
It's everybody. We're supposed to deal righteously with everybody, like Christ told us again, that the Heavenly Father causes the rain on the good as well as the evil. So we're supposed to deal everybody uprightly and righteously with everybody.
So it shows us that we can't pick and choose who to be righteous to.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, read on.
All right, verse 33. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. Excuse me, much again.
I want to read that again, and I want to read it in Matthew 7 and 12, because it says a word that wasn't said, that Luke doesn't say. Saying the same thing, but Matthew added in something else.
For sinners also lend to sinners. All right, Matthew 7 and what?
12.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Exactly. I mean, that's why the Most High gave us the word, because mm-hmm. the word is going to have us operating in that image or in that righteous form that we're supposed to be operating. You know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, you know, everything the scriptures are saying is talking about how we're dealing with one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how the Most High want us to operate. All right, what you have?
Oh, yeah, I got it. Yeah. Give me Proverbs 25, 28. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. I'm basically summing it up at the end now, right? Or what? Because we only got 11 minutes.
So. Yeah,
you
We're going to do part two, right?
Yeah, more than likely, yeah, we'll do a part two.
Because I got a couple more scriptures. I'll bring it out.
We're going to do a part two for this anyway next week. But anyway, give me Proverbs 25, 28 and read that.
He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broke down and without walls.
So it's funny how you mentioned you know, we were mentioning the laws and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when you look at he that hath no rule over his own spirit, we went into how we're supposed to deny our flesh and our lust. We're supposed to deny that. We can't give it to temptation. Right? So it says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. So just like we look in the back of time when Israel, when we were in our land, there were walls that were put up.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Why were the walls put up?
So the enemy won't enter in, can't enter in.
Exactly. So the enemy won't enter in. Nobody won't cause harm to the family of Israel.
Exactly.
All right. So they're saying, now the scripture is telling us that he that hath no rule over his own spirit. So if you can't control your own spirit, meaning stop committing fornication, stop killing, stop stealing, stop serving idolatry. If you can't stop that, you're like a city with no walls. Anything could enter in.
Who's the main enemy that's entering in?
The main enemy is you. It's the lust inside of you. It's you giving in to Satan to enter into your mind.
Exactly.
So these are the things that how we got to look at this thing. This is not a joke. This is something that's serious. So you got to see, you got to poke that wall around you. And how do we do that? How do we poke that wall?
Just tell us what our shield is.
Yeah, let's go to it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. Right? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and read verse 13.
Okay. Ephesians 6 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God.
So, we got to put on the whole armor of God.
Mm.
This is how we protect ourselves. This is how we put up that wall. Right? That's how we do it.
And a perfect example of that is like Eve.
Mm-hmm.
When we read about Eve, when she said the serpent beguiled me.
Exactly.
Wait a minute, you have the armor. Why you put the armor down?
That's the whole point, exactly.
Yeah. Why did you put the armor down? Because you had the armor. The armor was the word of God.
And the word of God, not to interrupt you, I'll give it right back to you. The word of God was already telling her what? Don't eat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what she did was, she tried to put it on Satan, but what she really did was just gave in to her own lust. She gave in to her lust because she said it was something she wanted to do because in her mind it was gonna she was gonna benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. And that's why read verse 13, Ephesians 6:13.
Okay. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand
to withstand
in the evil day, and having done all to stand.
Yeah, so like we've been saying in the whole show, Satan might enter your mind. Matter of fact, Satan is going to enter your mind.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen. But do you now listen to that voice inside? Just like you see those cartoons with the devil on your left shoulder, and then you're supposed to have the angel on your right. Are you going to give in to the devil on your left shoulder and do that voice that's in your head saying, oh, she looks so good, and she want to get with you, but you got a wife, and she got a husband? Are you going to give into that temptation, or are you going to put on the whole armor of God where it says, what does it say?
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not sleep with your neighbor's wife.
Exactly.
Are you going to listen to that, or are you going to give into, oh, I don't know, she's looking so good, smelling so good. She keep coming on to me, looking at, I got to give into her, give into it. I got to go get with her. But these are the things we're going to be faced with. Because everyone's lust is different, but this is the example we're giving you according to the scriptures. How we put on that armor? Thou shalt not lay with thy neighbor's wife. That's the armor.
Yeah. Or even what we read in Peter's, where it talks about suffer temptation.
Exactly. Same thing.
There's many scriptures that, you know, we can read. You know, we got to stay on our spirit. You know, there's a lot of scriptures we can read to help strengthen us.
Read verse 14 all the way down to let's keep reading.
Verse 14, Ephesians 6 and 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet sod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
So we just finished reading about the fiery darts that's going to tempt you. And it's, don't act like it's some strange thing. Remember, we just read that in Peter's.
Exactly.
So how do we fight off those fiery darts? By putting on the breastplate, by putting on God, by putting on the whole armor and fighting these darts off. Because the darts is talking about the lust.
that's coming at you, the lust that's coming into your mind that's attacking you. Read the scriptures. Let's see if it measures up. How do we fight it? How do we not give in to it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a heavy thing, but people got to read these scriptures to understand how to fight back and how to protect yourself.
And the thing is, when we come into the gospel, these things come upon us even more so. You know what I'm saying? It's even, you're even more tempted than someone that's just out in the world. Because Satan knows he's about to lose one of his servants.
Exactly.
You know, so you're even more tempted, so you have to be even more stronger. That's why it tells us in the Apocrypha, the Ecclesiastes, where it talks about if you come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation.
Exactly. You know? Read verse 17. Ephesians 6:17.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
So the word of God is that sword, man.
Mm.
You see, that's how we cut Satan down to size, man. He can't do nothing with us when we got the word. We don't give in to that temptation.
I want to read something. I want to read verse 16 to add on top of that because this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Above all, taking on the shield of faith.
Exactly.
So it's showing us that our faith is also a big part in protecting us because our faith is that we believe. You know, we believe in Christ. We believe he came and died for us. And we believe we have to follow his examples. And we believe that there's a reward. So these are things that we have to hold on to.
And another part of that faith, because a lot of people get caught up, because we got a lot of Christians out there that get caught up in the faith so much, that the scriptures say faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the hearing of the word of God, meaning the examples we're giving now, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, you know, bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery, you know, serve idolatry. That's hearing the word. And now we got to follow that. That's where your faith's at. You know, you just can't run off saying the faith of Jesus Christ, believe he's the Son of God, and that's just that. No, there's more to it than that. You see, we have to follow the word, meaning apply it to our lives. That's where the faith comes in. You have to apply. I want to pull out another scripture.
No, go ahead.
All right, 2 Timothy. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read 3 and 4 before we close out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and read verse 3 and 4.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
So this is what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Even there are two you were called.
Exactly. Jesus Christ suffered, and he endured that. For what? For the body of Christ, man. He did no wrong. He committed no sin, but yet he had to fulfill what the scripture said anyway. Just like when Peter tried to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ said it had to be. He had to fulfill that scripture because it was written. So it's something he has to do. Even though it was hard for him to do, he had to still fulfill that scripture, man. So read verse 4.
No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life.
Now, that's saying a lot. That's saying everything we really said today about don't give in to your temptation. If we're warned against fighting against fornication, and we're warned against fighting against lesbianism and being a homosexual or whatever, we're fighting against it, how are we going to entangle ourselves and do it?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be fighting against it. We're supposed to be beating, winning the war, winning the battle. How are you going to give into it?
Yeah, that scripture is saying a lot because it's showing us that we are in a fight.
We're in a fight, man.
And the fight isn't a physical fight or where we out there fighting with different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We're out there in the streets kicking and stomping and... The fight is a spiritual fight.
Fighting down that old man, beating him down. Man.
Exactly, exactly. Fighting to not be in that image of Satan and to be in that image of God.
Exactly.
That's the fight.
Exactly.
So we can't entangle ourselves with what's going on in the world because the world don't know. The scripture said it.
Mm-hmm.
The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. They don't know God.
Exactly.
Their wisdom is contrary to God. Their wisdom is of Satan.
Read verse 4 all the way through.
No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier.
Now, a soldier is someone, come on, a soldier of God? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
A soldier of God got to be a true warrior, man. We can't entangle ourselves in foolishness. We have to be a true warrior. A warrior of God ain't no stronger army to be a part of. Are you serious? You got to, man, listen. We got to read these scriptures and apply them and become a strong soldier. You know, with that, I mean, you want to...
Let me pull out one scripture and that's it.
All right.
1 John 3:10.
First John chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother.
So that's how, you know, we, if we do righteousness, mean we follow the words of God, that's how we in that image of God. Or if we doing wickedness, we in that image of Satan, and we following Satan. All right. And with that, we thank you for tuning in, and may the Most High in Christ bless you. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
And giving all praises to the Most High for the understanding.
Shalom.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.
Like you said.